of that missions team to the Philippines, and it was amazing. I can't tell you how proud I am of the team that we had with us. There's 28 of us from Restoration, some adults, some teenagers, some little kids, and they were awesome. They all stepped in and served in incredible ways, and it was a really good trip. We partnered with this ministry called Kids International. They're in Manila, Philippines, and they are doing remarkable things in the Philippines. One of their main ministries is something that they call Meals and Values, where they get these manna packs. These manna packs are provided by nutritionists to provide food for starving children across the world. And Kids International, they get these manna packs, and they partner with local churches and local pastors, where they go into these impoverished neighborhoods, and they take teams like ours, and we get to go with a pastor, and we get to provide food for these kids and love on these kids. And it's remarkable. These kids have so much joy as we simply give them a bowl of rice. And to make the rice good, they put chocolate in it. And it was unique, and it was good. And you can try that. You are welcome to try that. And these kids are so thankful for the opportunity. But the thing that just amazes me is as we're doing this, we're not just feeding kids. Every one of these neighborhoods that they deliver food to is partnered with a pastor who is trying to disciple this neighborhood, trying to lead people to Christ. And in fact, through this Meals and Values ministry that they've done, that's really blown up since COVID. I think since COVID, they've given over 7 million meals away. As a part of this, they've been able to see over 60 churches planted since COVID, which is pretty awesome. And so it really cool to see some of the work that's happening there. Another thing that Kids International does is they have this boys' home and this girls' home. And so you've got kids that are, some of them are orphans, some of them are just being taken away from the families. And they provide a loving place for those kids to grow up. And while we were there, one of the things we were able to do was we got to partner with a government-run orphanage. And so if you can imagine this, imagine 35 kids in a three-bedroom house. We're talking like that's pretty crazy, right? And you've got kids 3, 4, 5 years old, and you've got teenagers, and you've got some young adults with mental disabilities. And most of these kids are victims of sex trafficking. And so as we have the chance to come and try and minister to these kids, provide a meal, man, it kind of breaks your heart knowing what these kids have been through and the trauma they've experienced. And so it was cool for us as a team. We got to sponsor a trip for these kids to come to the swimming pool. And I tell you, you think about all these kids, all these things these kids have experienced, the trauma, the hard things. Man, you throw a kid in a pool, and for 3 hours, it's like that trauma doesn't exist. They're just doing what kids do, jumping and splashing water on other people. And it was remarkable to be able to see a part of that. And as we were flying home last Sunday, I sat on the airplane, and I knew I was going to have to preach today. And the question that kept running into my mind was, why would we do this? Why would we take a team of 28 people from Restoration Church in Yakima, Washington? Why would we take this team all the way to Manila to do this ministry in Manila? And I'll tell you the answer, it's not really about the Philippines. The answer, why we would do this, isn't really anything about missions trips. It's really about our heart. It's really about if we have a heart that genuinely loves God and loves other people. So let me just say this as we jump in. Welcome to Restoration Church. If you are a guest with us, man, we're excited you are here. This has been a great season of ministry here at Restoration Church, and I hope that you will allow this to become your second, third, and fourth visit here at Restoration, that you'll plug into our family here at the church. But this idea of this mission trip, what does a mission trip have to do with our heart? And I come back to, there was a passage in the New Testament where Jesus is walking on the earth, and these religious leaders, they come up to Jesus, and they're like, Jesus, come on, we're going to trick you. What's the greatest commandment? Jesus was like, that's easy. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Easy. But then Jesus says, but the second commandment is like the first, meaning they're equal. And that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus is effectively saying, listen, if you're gonna honor me, you're gonna live your life for me, this is what your life is characterized by. It's characterized characterized by a love of God and a love of others. Now, these two things, they're not inseparable. They belong together. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. That if you are following after God, that these two things of loving God and loving others will be the primary motivation of your heart. Which gives us insight as to why we do mission. Gives us insight to why we even do church. This morning we're going to be in Romans chapter 1. Romans was written by the Apostle Paul, which Paul might have been the greatest missionary that ever lived on the face of the earth. And Paul had this desire to go to Rome to do ministry with this church at Rome. But through circumstances, he wasn't able to go. There were things that God prevented from him to be able to go. He's going to eventually end up in Rome as a prisoner, not the way that he intended, not as a missionary. He'll end up there eventually. But in the meantime, he writes this letter in our Bible called the Book of Romans. And in the introduction to this letter to the church at Rome, he gives us some insight, not just why he wants to go to Rome, but how this commandment to love God and to love others, he gives us insight as to what it looks like in our life, on how us generally loving other people and serving other people actually is not just good for them, it's mutually beneficial for us. So we're going to look five verses today, not very many. And we're going to see Paul's ministry desire as he's thinking about writing this letter to the Romans. And the first thing we see about Paul's ministry desire is he has a heart of gratitude for the grace that he sees in other people. Paul has a heart of gratitude for the grace that he sees, God's grace that he sees in other people. Here's what it says, verse 8. First, I say, thank God through Christ Jesus for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all of the world. And I don't know about you, but I hear this and I'm like, it's kind of odd the way that Paul is writing this. It's kind of odd the way he's saying this. He says, I thank God through Christ Jesus. And I'm like, who talks like that, right? And this is pig Latin. Like why are you talking all weird? And the answer is, this is actually a model of prayer, right? Because when we pray, who are we praying to? We pray to God the Father, right? We pray, our Father which art in heaven. Like, we're praying to God the Father. But Paul knows that when we're praying to God, Jesus is our mediator. Jesus is the one that mediates between us and God. In fact, 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4 says, because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, that we can come to the throne of God. We can come to God the Father in prayer with boldness because of Jesus. And so Paul, as he says, hey, I thank God in Christ Jesus, he's saying, listen, I'm thanking God not because I'm great. I'm thanking God through Jesus because he's our mediator. He's the one that gives us the right to approach the throne of God. And he says this, he says, I thank God through Christ Jesus for all of you because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. And do you hear what Paul is doing in the beginning of this letter? Beginning of this letter to the Romans, he stops and he takes notice of something. He acknowledges something. He acknowledges something to the Romans. It's a simple thing. Simply saying, hey, I acknowledge that I hear and I see the grace of God in your lives. Which is fascinating. Because we live in a breakneck speed of society, right? We are overwhelmed with all the things on our plate, with all of our world, with everything happening. We're busy. We're consumed with our own stuff. Many of us are like, man, I'm just trying to get through the day. I'm trying to get through the week. It's been such a long week. I'm still not sleeping and all these other things going on. And we become consumed with what's on our plate, what's in front of us. But if we're going to walk in obedience to what God's called us to love God and love others, there's this part of us that should take notice of the people around us. This is what Paul does. Paul says, listen, I want to thank God through Jesus because of the grace of God I see in your lives. And notice what Paul doesn't say. Paul doesn't say, oh, I thank you, Romans. Man, I thank you, Romans, because you guys are awesome. You have such strong faith. You guys are amazing. Everybody knows about you. You guys are amazing. That's not what he says. He says, I thank God through Jesus because of your faith. And I'm like, well, again, like, why does Paul say it this way? Why is he saying, I thank God because of what I see in you? Because Paul understands that every good gift comes from the Father above. And I think Paul knows our human nature. That when someone affirms something in us, sometimes we take a little bit of pride in that, right? Oh, you're affirming my ability to tell jokes? That must mean I'm really funny. That must mean I manufactured the humor because I'm so funny. And these Romans, if he's like, man, you guys have great faith. Everybody knows about it. You guys are amazing. The Romans would have been puffed up and been like, hey, look how great we are. And Paul's like, hold up. No, this is the grace of God in you. I want to affirm this, that what I see in you, this faith that is in you, you've got to recognize it doesn't come from you. It is a gift from God. And like this is something like so beneficial for us to understand is that the gifts in our life, the strengths, the blessings, the successes around us. Man, there's one way that we can look at those things and think, man, look how great I am. Look what I've done. And I love this because Paul's like, hold up, it's not about you. I thank God because of his grace in your life that has produced this faith. What if we viewed our life in that way, where the successes that we claim, that the blessings, not because we're amazing, because we're worthy of it, because we're capable, they're simply because the grace of God has showed up in our life. So Paul is saying to this church, and notice what gift Paul is acknowledging in their life. He says, I want to acknowledge the, affirm the faith in God that you have. This faith is remarkable because people all across the world have heard about the faith of the people in the church in Rome. And I find this fascinating because I pastor a church. And you know, churches, now we can be known for a lot of different things, right? Churches, our day and age, they're known for the size. Are you a big church? Are you a small church? Are you a Goldilocks church, just the right size, right? Churches, we're known for who we put on the platform, whether that be a handsome, funny, charming pastor or not, or the worship team. Oh, man, you got to hear the worship. Well, they're known for who they put on the platform. Sometimes churches are known for the programs they offer. Oh, man, they have all the programs. They offer all the stuff. You know what happens is when we begin to think about church in this way, we kind of treat church like a buffet, right? We're like, where's the menu? I want to know the menu of what this church has to offer for me if it's going to meet my needs. And what happens is we have this idea when church becomes a buffet and a menu where we're like, well, I really like the preaching over at this church and the music at that church. Oh, but the youth group at this church, they've got the best youth group. And well, the midweek, the discipleship, man, that's here. You know what we're doing? We become consumers of religious goods and religious services. But is that what God's called us to do when we consider the church? To be consumers of religious services like it's a buffet? This is, for me, like I hear about this church at Rome. These people, they're not known. Their church is not known because of how great their size is. They're not known for how great their leaders are. They're not known for all the programs they have and how they meet everybody's felt needs. No, this church in Rome is known for their faith in God, their trust in God, their obedience in God. And I just got to put my cards on the table, like as a pastor of Restoration Church, like how great would it be if that was our story? That we were a church that is known as a group of people who love God. That we were known as a group of people who loved others. We're known as a group of people who loved the Scriptures and obeyed the Scriptures. We're known as a group of people who live fearlessly for God and have such faith in Him. Like, how great would that be for us to be known for that? I love this because Paul, as he talks about doing this ministry amongst the Romans, the first thing you see is you see this heart of gratitude towards the grace he sees in other people. The second thing you see is you see this heart that had a desire to serve and to strengthen other people. See this in verse 9. He says, "For God is my witness, whom I've served with my spirit and the gospel of a son." This is Paul's life. Paul's life is oriented around proclaiming the gospel. He says, "For God is my witness that without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you." Paul's writing to this church in Rome. He's never been there. He's writing to them, and this is what he says. He says, "Listen, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you guys." Let me just, is there anything more encouraging to someone who comes up to you and is like, "Bro, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. Like, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your day looks like. I don't know what your week, I don't know but I just want you to know I've been praying." Is there anything more encouraging than that, to know there are people on our behalf who are praying to God, praying that God would show up and help us with where we are and what we need? In fact, one of the things we talk about here at Restoration Church every Sunday, we talk about our connection card. And we're like, "Hey, you can fill it out online. You can grab an in-person one." And we're like, "Hey, fill it out. Let us know how we can be praying for you." You know, that's not just a throwaway statement that we do because churches are supposed to do that. That as elders, at our elders' meetings, we come together and we take about a third of our meeting. We pray for the church. We pray for you. And guess what? We want to pray specifically for what's going on in your life. I almost feel like we should do, like, when we have the people do service hosts, we should, like, give, like, tips for who gets the most connection card prayer requests in return. Like, "Hey, you get more drawn in. Like you get..." We're not going to do that, but it'd be funny. I want you to know, like, as a church, we want to be praying for you. As you're thinking about whatever's going on in your world, in your life, man, like, let us know how we can be praying specifically for you. And notice what he says. He says, "God is my witness. God is my witness that I never cease from praying for you." See, this isn't just that little church game that we play. You know, where, when we, you know, we meet somebody at church and they're like, "Man, I'm having such a bad time." We're like, "I'll pray for you," and we never do. Paul's like, "No, God's my witness. Like, when I say I'm praying for you, like, I'm actually on my knees praying on behalf of God for you." So here's what he says. He says, "As God is my witness, without ceasing, I always mention you in my prayers. Listen to this. Asking that somehow, by God's will, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to strengthen you." Did you hear that? "I desire to come to you. I long to come to you." Why? So I can connect, encourage, and strengthen you. So I can impart a spiritual gift upon you. His purpose in coming to the church at Rome is not for sightseeing. It's not for vacation. It's to serve. It's to give. It's to meet needs. Can you imagine with me? Imagine if we viewed church in that same light as the Apostle Paul did. I mean, just think about this. Imagine if this was our heart in coming into church, or our heart in coming to our life group. What if this was your heart in going into work this week, or to your school this week? What if this was your heart in your marriage or with your family? "I'm coming to serve, to give, to strengthen, to use my spiritual gift to encourage those around me." Can you imagine what God could do if we actually approach church and we're like, "God, I want to use my gift. I want to use my words. I want to use my hands to strengthen some other people around." Can you imagine what God could do? Typically, they say, like, in a church, like, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Could you imagine if here we are on a Sunday morning, what if there was 60 of us who came and said, man, I'm coming because, God, I want to give something. I want to encourage somebody. I want to use my gifts to be a blessing to someone else, to serve them. Could you imagine, like how many more people we could see the gospel take fruit in? See God begin to transform? Because, again, so many times we think about church, we think about small group, we think about these things, and we're consumers. Man, I'm going to get really good preaching from the pastor, right? I'm going to get someone to pray for me. I'm going to get someone to talk to me. Now, what if instead of the idea of me coming to receive, what if it was, God, who am I going to reach out to? Who am I going to go pray for? Who am I going to encourage? Who am I going to give a word of encouragement towards? You see this little bit of a shift in the way that Paul is writing? Church in Rome, I want to come to serve you. I want to come and impart a spiritual gift upon you. I'm going to be a blessing to you. In fact, this is where, like for me, coming home from this mission trip, it's a little bit of convicting for me. Because in the Philippines, like, I'm walking through the street, and they're like, hey, can you pray with this guy? And I'm like, sure, I'll pray with this guy. I'm walking in, and they're like, Pastor Kevin, can you give us a word of encouragement from Scripture? And I'm like, okay, sure, I'm ready. We'll just pray the Holy Spirit to give me something to say. Hey, there's this need. There's this person that's, can you donate some money towards that? Sure, I got some money in my pocket. Let me just take it out and meet the need right then, right there. Did you know those things are not just mission trip things? Did you know that? Like us praying for other people and us sharing the gospel and giving a word of encouragement and sacrificing financially for other, those aren't just mission trip things. Those are like everyday Christian things. Paul's going to write a couple chapters later, Romans chapter 12, he says, where am I at? There I am. He says, in view of the mercies of God, in view of what God has done for you, you are to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And he says, this is your reasonable worship. This isn't your mission trip worship. This isn't like your elite Christian status worship. This is, if you're a Christian, it's reasonable for us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to other people. Man, puts a little fire beneath my backside of like, God, man, this is what should be happening every day right here with one another. We ought to have a heart to strengthen and encourage and build up people around us. Third thing is there's this mutual encouragement that comes from serving other people. This is what Paul says in verse 12. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Here's what Paul's saying. Again, this is Paul, greatest missionary who ever lived, a guy who wrote the Bible. He's an apostle. He's like upper level status. He says, I need to come to you. I need to come and serve with you. Why? Because I need encouragement and refreshing and strengthening. He's like this upper level super Christian, and he's like, I'm not impervious to my need for encouragement. Which tells me two things. Number one, it tells us we all need Christian community. We all need people around us. Every one of us, we need the Christian community. Let me just be honest, like, community is hard, is it not? Like, you step into church and you're like, man, there's some sinners in this room. I'm like, yeah, that's one of the requirements to be part of the church is you got to be a sinner, right? And some of us in here, we stink. And some of us, we stink a lot of the time. Praise God for grace. Praise God for grace. Paul is saying, listen, I need to be with people like this. I need this encouragement that comes from gathering together and serving one another. We need Christian community. You and I, we are called not just to come and partake in religious services, but to be a part of the community. And the second thing that this tells me, and this is hopefully a word for someone in here today, that sometimes the remedy to your frustration the remedy to your restlessness, the remedy to your discouragement, the remedy to your frustration. Chances are it's going to come from serving other people. Right? Paul's life is full of hardness, opposition, persecution, hardship. And what does Paul say? What do I need? I need to go and I need to serve the church in Rome so I can be encouraged, so I can be strengthened. Because there's this mutual encouragement that comes when we serve other people. Right? And again, this is key because it's not our natural tendency. Our natural tendency is we approach things and think, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this deal? I'll show up to church because, man, there better be some good coffee. And you better not run out of coffee. There better be some cookies. And, you know, there better be kids ministry. And there better be all these different things that meet my needs. But when we understand God calls us not just to consume, but to give, to serve, to love, we use our spiritual gifts to meet a need, share the gospel, give a word of encouragement, to pray for somebody else. You know what? You know what you get in return? You get joy. That's what Paul's saying. I want to come to this church because there's a joy, there's an encouragement that comes from doing that. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, speaking of Jesus, the joy set before him. Listen, for the joy set before him, what did Jesus do? He endured the cross with scorn and shame. For the joy set before him, he went to the cross and suffered and died. That doesn't sound like joy. That sounds like misery. Why would he do it? For the joy of serving other people. There's a joy that comes from that. And some of us, let's acknowledge, some of us, we're miserable. We're discouraged. We're frustrated. Because we've made life all about me. I'm the son of the universe, and everyone else revolves around me. And I tell you, if we were to begin to shift our mindset just a little bit, to think, man, God, you've gifted me with some things that I could share a word of encouragement to somebody, I could serve somebody, I could meet a need, that there'd be this mutual joy, this mutual encouragement that comes from doing those things. In fact, here's our summary for this message. Is that when fueling others' faith will also ignite our own. That when we are willing to fuel someone and encourage someone else's faith, man, that's the thing that God uses to ignite our own. And I tell you what, that had meaning for Paul's desire to go to Rome. Why would he want to go to Rome? Because he wanted to fuel others' faith while igniting his own. Why would we send a team to the Philippines to fuel others' faith while we ignited our own? Why would we come to church? Why would we come and serve at church and do things at church? Because fueling others' faith also ignites our own. Here's where we are. We ended the message, and I'll tell you what. We're not just here for information. We're here for transformation. I got two simple things I'm going to ask you to do this week. This is your homework. Not just to come and learn some things about the Apostle Paul and how he wanted to go to Rome and how he did all this great stuff. No, we're here for transformation. So here's what you're supposed to do with this. I'm going to make it simple for you. Two things. Number one, I want you to intentionally affirm God's work in someone else's life this week. It's going to require for some of us, open up our eyes. It's going to require for some of us, to not look at ourselves and begin to look at other people around us. To open our eyes to see how God is working in other people's lives. Some of us are going to have to search it out. We're going to have to seek it out. God, would you help me to see this? Help me see what you're doing in other people's lives. And I want you not just to notice it. I want you to express it. Because gratitude grows not just when we feel it, but gratitude grows when we you've got to share it. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you the wording. Here's the wording that Paul uses. Paul says, I thank God in Jesus Christ for you because of, and then guess what? You can fill in the blank. And here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you, think about it this week. Think about someone you can send that to. Send a text message. Write a note and drop it in the snail mail. See someone face to face and just give this face encouragement. Man, I thank God in Jesus Christ because of the grace I see in you because of this. Man, you are such an encouragement to me because you've done this. I see God working in you because of that. You know, like, how encouraging that would be to the people around us? Second thing I'm going to ask you to do, make a plan to serve someone else this week. Actually, sacrificially serve someone else. Not because you have to, not because you're scheduled to, not because you're expected to. But what if we all said, man, I'm going to do something intentionally this week to encourage someone else, to build them up, to strengthen them, to speak a word of hope, to speak a word of encouragement into their life, something out of the ordinary. If we were intentional about it. You know, like, what God could do in us and through us if we actually did these two simple things, affirm what we see in other people's lives and actually get out and serve and find a way to meet a need. Which can simply just be when someone's talking about the burden they're carrying, and we're always like, man, I got other stuff to do. I got places to be. My wife's waiting for me. I got, you know, kids are. What if you actually just stop and listen? Man, you got a burden? Here, I'll listen. Maybe it's speaking a word or a testimony of encouragement to someone else. Meeting a need, helping with a chore, giving sacrificially. How about this? How about you initiate the conversation instead of waiting for someone else to initiate the conversation with you? You think God could use that? Listen, when we're willing to serve others this way, with the purpose of strengthening and encouraging them, don't miss out because there's that mutual encouragement that comes in as a return. Joy multiplies when it moves outward. In fact, Proverbs 11 says, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed self. But why would we send a team to the Philippines? Because as we fuel others' faith, we ignite our own. Why would we show up to church and try and figure out how can I encourage somebody? Because when we fuel others' faith, we ignite our own.